Well, good morning and welcome to our site as we continue in our little series, Biblical Answers to Vital Questions. The vital question that I want to answer today is, how can I be sure I'll go to heaven? I think that is a vital question, don't you? How can I be sure I'll go to heaven? Well, praise the Lord. God doesn't leave us guessing, so let's get into it. If you have a Bible with you, please turn towards the back of the Bible, just a few books before the Revelation, the first letter of John, 1 John chapter 5. We'd like to read from that chapter. If you have it in your Bible, I'd love you to follow. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, that is the Messiah, God's anointed one, is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God. Obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Holy Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Dropping down to verse 18, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. So reads the Word of God. What a wonderful verse to come to. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. And if you have time, please find the time to read the whole of 1 John. It's a wonderful book, giving us the tests of certainty, assurance concerning eternal life. Well, are you ready? Let's get into it. How can I be sure I'll go to heaven? Well, first you have to settle the question, have I truly become a child of God? You see, I'm not born a child of God. I'm born a sinner who turns away from God and does my own thing. And so, have I, to use Jesus' words to the Pharisee named Nicodemus, been born again? Have I been born anew? We use terms like saved, conversion, or become a Christian. What does that mean, though? Or practically speaking, what does that involve, being a child of God, and therefore being sure of heaven? Often we use the term salvation, which means rescue, deliverance. You see, the real question is not, do you have a religion, or even, do you go to a Christian church? The question is, do you have a relationship? with God. Christianity, correctly understood, is not a religion, it's a life. It's a life lived in relationship with God, in communion with God. The broken relationship has been restored. And the only way to have a relationship with God is through Jesus, his Son. And the only way to have a relationship with Jesus is to do it the way the Bible tells you to do it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into a relationship with God the Father except through him. Jesus, who lived a life we could not live, a life without sin. Jesus, who died a death that we could not die, a perfect, sinless substitute and sacrifice for our sins, as he died on the cross. Jesus was raised triumphant from the tomb on the third day, and then ascended to heaven after 40 days of resurrection life among his disciples. So Jesus came from heaven, paid the price for our redemption, bought us back for God by dying on the cross for our sins, returned to heaven so that we could go there too. Jesus didn't just die a martyr's death or died the death of a good person. Jesus came from heaven, took upon himself our humanity, lived a sinless life, died a substitutionary death on the cross, and was raised from the dead so that we too could have eternal life and go to heaven. All we have to do is respond to his love. And we do that by, in Bible words, repenting, believing, receiving, and obeying. So let me unpack that for you. It's really quite simple. Repenting means that I turn from my own way to God in contrition, in sorrow over my self-centeredness and self-will and the things that have offended God. Repentance is a change of mind and a change of heart and a change of direction. It's beautifully illustrated in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. This young man took his inheritance early and then squandered it on wild living and wine, women, and song, and then he ended up with nothing. And then he came to his senses, Jesus says. And when he came to his senses, he says, I will arise and go back to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Repentance, then, is a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction, where we come in sorrow over our sinfulness to the cross of Jesus, who died for our sins. Believing means entrusting my life to Jesus Christ, putting my whole trust, all my faith in Jesus alone, for the blessing of forgiveness and the gift of everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, the Bible says. So, becoming a child of God means repenting toward God, putting my trust in Jesus Christ alone, and receiving. Receiving means receiving the Holy Spirit. It's Luke the doctor, who was a disciple of Jesus, who wrote the gospel that bears his name. Luke the physician tells us that the early believers became believers because they received the Holy Spirit of God into their lives. And so repenting means I turn to God in sorrow over my sin. Believing means I entrust my life to Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of my sins and the gift of everlasting life. And receiving means in receiving Jesus, I receive also the Holy Spirit of God, who gives me new birth into the family of God, and who indwells me as a follower of Jesus, giving me the power and the ability to live for Christ. And then the fourth word is obeying. Obeying means following God's way, obeying his commands. It begins with baptism. In the New Testament, it's quite clear that those who repented toward God and placed their faith in Jesus and received the Holy Spirit were born again into the family of God through the mighty working of the Holy Spirit of God, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus, to obey his commands, to obey his great commission, to become disciples who would grow in the community of believers, advancing to maturity in Christ, and then reproducing, multiplying. And so that's how we respond to the love of God, by repenting toward God, putting our trust in Jesus, receiving the Holy Spirit of God by faith into our lives, and then obeying the word of the Lord, so that we grow in the community of God's people, the church, and advance to maturity in Christ, and then are able to make other disciples also. When we turn to God in repentance and surrender our lives to Christ, a number of things happen, and it's just too good to miss. Here are some of the things that happen when we become Christians. Our sins are forgiven. God adopts us into his family. We are given the full rights of sons and daughters of God. That means we are justified. God declares us righteous on the grounds of our faith in Jesus, the righteous one. And the righteousness of Christ is credited to our account. Justified. God declares us not guilty, just as if I'd never sinned when I put my trust in Jesus. And then sanctified. We're set apart for God. The Holy Spirit continues to work in our lives as we trust in Jesus and obey God's word. The Holy Spirit of God, who gave us new birth into the family of God when we trusted Jesus, abides with us to lead us in a life where we are set apart for God in heart and mind and soul. A new life has begun, and Christ in us is the hope, the guarantee of eternal glory. And so we become members of the kingdom of God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have deliverance from all evil. Jesus is our shepherd to guide us, to protect us, to keep us. His goodness and mercy flanks us all the days of our life, and we know we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have help in times of temptation, testing, and affliction. We have an inseparable union with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So, my friend, becoming a child of God is a very big deal. It's huge. It's the most wonderful thing in the world to be a Christian, a child of God. All these things are ours when we put our trust in Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. We're adopted into God's family. We have a new life. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We're members of God's kingdom. We have peace with God through Jesus. We have deliverance from evil. We have all the help we need in temptation and testing and affliction. We have an inseparable union with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the genuineness, the authenticity of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ will be proved by the change in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Apostle Paul says to the Christians at Corinth in the first century, "If any person is in Christ, there's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new." In other words, if we are authentic followers of Jesus, true children of God, through Jesus Christ, the change in our lives will be proof of the reality of our confession and our profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that? The genuineness, the authenticity of our relationship with God through Christ will be proved by the change in our lives. Jesus said, "By their fruits you shall know them." How will that change be manifested? Well, let me just give you, if you're taking notes, and that's a great thing to do, here are 7 things that show the change that has taken place in my life when I truly become a child of God through repentance and faith in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit at work within me, giving me new birth into the family of God, a new life as a follower of Jesus. Here are seven things that happen. First of all, I have a supreme love for Jesus Christ. In Luke 14:26, Jesus says, "If you don't love me more than father and mother and brother and sister and relatives and friends, if you don't love me more than these, you can't be my disciple." In fact, Jesus actually uses the word hatred. He says, if you don't hate your father and mother and brother and sister and so on, you can't be my disciple. What Jesus means, of course, is that if we are truly his children, our love for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, our love for the Lord will be so great that all other loves are as hatred by comparison. A supreme love for Jesus Christ. That's the characteristic of a genuine disciple. And then a radical denial of self, self-centeredness, the denial of that natural government within. We're born into this world and we chase after a kingdom of one, ourselves. But when we become Christians, there's a denial of that self-centered control within our lives. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, if any woman will come after me, let him deny himself, deny herself. Now, that doesn't mean just like giving up jam and roast potatoes for Lent. It means being willing to put to death everything that is offensive to God. Being willing to put to death, to nail to the cross, as it were, anything that is sinful, anything that is offensive to the Lord. You can tell a genuine Christian there's not only a supreme love for Jesus Christ in their life, there's a radical denial of self. Jesus is on the throne now, not self. And then thirdly, there's a deliberate choosing of the cross. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And Luke adds daily. A deliberate choosing of the cross. In other words, every day, as a true disciple of Jesus, I am willing to put to death that which will be offensive to the Lord Jesus. Fourthly, an unswerving continuance in the Word of God. An unswerving continuance in the Word of God, which reveals the will of God. You can tell a Christian, one who's on his way to heaven, because he loves the Word of the Lord, and he continues to live according to the Scriptures. John 8:31, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, if you obey my teaching, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son of God sets you free, you shall be free indeed. An unswerving continuance in his word. Luke 9:62, Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. A real Christian perseveres in a life lived according to the principles of the Word of God. And then fifthly, a fervent love for all who belong to Christ. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You can tell a Christian, Christians love their brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number six, a forsaking of all non-essentials. You ought to be able to tell a true Christian, because a true Christian is willing to forsake all non-essentials in life in order to follow Jesus and fulfill his command to make disciples and to love one's neighbor as one loves oneself. Luke 14:33 is our verse here. Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. In other words, we have to get out of ownership into management, into stewardship. Friends, I don't own anything as a Christian. God owns it all. He owns my life, he owns my wife, he owns my children, my grandchildren, he owns my home, my car, my possessions. Everything belongs to the Lord. And being a Christian means I'm being willing to get out of ownership into stewardship, into management of what God has entrusted to me, my time, my energy, my talents, my treasures. A Christian is a steward of all God has given. And you can tell a Christian, or you ought to be able to tell a Christian, because there's a person who forsakes all non-essentials and lives supremely for Christ and the advance of his kingdom. And so here's a good slogan: earn much, consume little, hoard nothing, give generously, and celebrate life, especially for the poor. That ought to be a kind of measuring stick for an authentic Christian. I earn as much as I can, honestly and with integrity, for the glory of God. I consume personally as little as I can. I hoard nothing. I give generously. And I celebrate life, especially with the poor and the needy. How is that change manifested then when a person has become a true Christian? There's a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. In 1 John, which I read to you earlier at the start of our time together, I read to you chapter 5 of the first epistle of John. And there John gives us 4 tests: a spiritual test. A genuine Christian who's on his way to heaven has the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. And the old hymn writer said, "If one should ask of me, how can I tell? Glory to Jesus, I know very well. God's Holy Spirit with mine doth agree, constantly witnessing, Jesus loves me." There's a spiritual test. The Holy Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I am a child of God. If that's not going on in your life, something's wrong. You need to come back to the cross of Jesus. There's a moral test, the Apostle John says. If we're truly Christians, we will not continue in sin. Sin will be like a speck in the eye. We'll have to deal with it immediately and confess it to the Lord and get rid of it. There's a social test. We'll love our brothers and sisters in Jesus. There's a doctrinal test. We'll believe the right things. We will believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God who died to redeem us and restore our broken relationship with God. Now, if those things are true of my life, I won't be perfect, but I will be on my way to heaven, that's for sure. Not because of what I have done or am doing or will yet do, but because of what Christ has done, is doing in my life, and will continue to do. Philippians 1:6, Paul says to the church at Philippi, the Christians there, "He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ." What a wonderful verse. He who has begun a good work in you, the Lord, will keep on doing it until it's complete when you see Jesus face to face. And so we have assurance of heaven, dear friend, assurance of everlasting life, not because of who we are or what we have done or because of our religion or church going or prayers or Bible reading, but because of what God has done for us once and for all in Jesus. And the fact that we have repented toward God and put our trust in him and been born again of the Holy Spirit into the family of God. And what God is doing now in our lives and will yet do until he completes the work in us. Just to close then, our assurance of heaven, the certainty that we'll go to heaven, is based on the word of God the Father. It's based on the work of God the Son. And it's based on the witness of God the Holy Spirit. Our salvation, the Father thought it, the Son bought it, the Holy Spirit wrought it. I just couldn't resist that little play on words. We are sure of eternal life. We are sure of heaven because of the word of the Father. God cannot lie. And his word says that he so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes on him has eternal life and will never perish. The word of the Father is our guarantee. When we put our trust in Jesus, we have eternal life. We'll never perish. No one will snatch us out of our Lord's hand. the work of the work of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is what we depend on, not our works, but the completed work of Jesus, the word of the Father, the work of the Son, and then the witness of God the Holy Spirit. John says in his epistle, some of which we read earlier, that when we are authentic followers of Jesus, when we're true children of God on our way to heaven, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so, it's very simple. I can be sure I'll go to heaven if I've put my trust in Jesus, who died for my sins, who rose again to give me a brand new life, and I now have a brand new Lord. And he's right now preparing a place in heaven for me and for every one of his followers. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also." Thank God, we can be absolutely sure that we'll go to heaven when we have placed our trust in Jesus and we are following him. God bless you. Let's bow together in prayer. If you've never committed your life to Jesus, I invite you to follow me, word by word, in this simple prayer. Father God, thank you for speaking to me today. Thank you for showing me what Christ has done for me on the cross. Thank you that you so loved me that you gave your Son, so that believing on him, I would not perish but have eternal life. Lord, I now repent of all my sin. With a change of heart and a change of mind and a change of direction, I turn to you now, dear Lord God. And through Jesus Christ, your Son, I commit my life to you now. I surrender my life to Jesus as my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord, my Shepherd, my Friend. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive by faith your Holy Spirit into my life to empower me and enable me to know you better and better as the days go by, to grow in this love relationship with you. And I pray that by your Spirit at work within me now, Lord Jesus, you would empower me to live my life for your glory and for your honor. Thank you for hearing and answering my prayer. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
My song, praising my Savior.